Welcome, welcome, shalom from rainy and cloudy Baltimore, Maryland. It is Thursday and it is September 14th and today is getaway day. Actually, tomorrow's getaway day. Thursday is the last day of work for us. I may go in for an hour or two and then I head up to New Jersey to do some SAP training work. And then up to Staten Island for David Schoenfeld, making the bar mitzvah for Mr. Menachem Schoenfeld, who just turned 13. And the big bar mitzvah this weekend, we're all very excited. First, I'd like to give a shout-out out there, a few shout-outs. We heard from a bunch of people commenting, mostly positively. First, to Dr. Thomas Laub, who I sent an email to. It's kind of by accident that he got this invitation to the podcast, I'll be honest with you. I sent out a whole bunch of, I sent a bunch of emails out, and Dr. Thomas Laub did get one, and my wife called from Israel saying that he left a nice message. Dr. Laub was my SAP tutor, my SAP trainer, when I learned it, and he's been very beneficial to me in my consulting career currently, although I'm kind of far away from home. But thank God it's going pretty well, so I have a shout-out to Dr. Laub. Thomas, good to hear from you, and thank you. Who else had something to say? Noah Gordon had some nice words to say, and also Mordechai Helfand from Ramat Beit Shemesh, who borrowed my Gemara about, 9 months ago, Marat Scroll, and just finished it. And again, Mordechai, I didn't really intend for you to send it to you, but again, I sent a whole stack of emails out, and you're in my Yahoo address book, so a whole bunch of people got my invitation to listen to the podcast, and I'm glad you enjoyed the little history lesson there. We have another lesson coming up today. Right now, though, we'll take a short musical break, and we'll bring you Yeshiva Boys Choir, which, I don't know about this song, but does feature my nephew, Yehuda Zimberg, who sings in Yeshiva Boys Choir, and he just came back from Eretz Yisrael. He was touring Eretz Yisrael with his brother Yaakov, my Aunt Ruthie, and right now, their sister, my niece Eliza Zimberg, is actually there in Yerushalayim learning. And without further ado, the Yeshiva Boys Choir.
Mishteinai,
Okay, I think we're back, and we're going to start our history lesson. Okay, Antigonus of Socho. Who's Antigonus? Good question. Who's Antigonus? Well, right after Shimon HaTzadik, Antigonus was the next great ruler. Now, it's interesting to note is this was the first time that a non-Kohen was going to be leading or be the leading scholar. Shimon HaTzadik was the last one where they consider the Kohen to be the end-all to know the most Torah study. So after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, Antigonus, a non-Kohen, was the accepted ruler. Now, the question is whether he was directly after Shimon HaTzadik or whether he was many generations later. The Mishnah mentions Antigonus right after Shimon HaTzadik. So, most historians say that he was directly from Shimon HaTzadik, and he got his knowledge or learned his Torah from Shimon HaTzadik directly. Now, the other interesting thing to note is the name Antigonus. Question, how did that name get there? Well, we mentioned last week that one of the favors that the Jews did for Alexander the Great was that they were going to call all the boys born Alexander, show gratitude for him. That may have been one reason why that name Antigonus was popular. Another reason is because there was a Greek governor of Eretz Yisrael at the time, Antigonus, and he was kind to the Jews, so they tried to immortalize his name. We also know that this time the Jews started following Greek customs and culture. So we do see other Greek names, Aristobul, Boötes. So we do see that other Alexander, we see other names in the Mishnah that were Greek. So this was a vogue trend. Now, interesting thing to note, one of the things that Antigonus used to say was, when you serve Hashem, when you serve God, don't be like a servant with your expectations. You're going to get money and prizes and gifts, but you should be like the servant who fears the master without expecting any gifts. And the fear of heaven, of Shemayim, should be on top of you. Now, Tzadok and Boötes heard this, and they had a huge problem with this. And they said, well, this is fine for him. Who could really work without accepting any compensation. It must be that there is no world to come. There is no reward in the world to come. We should really live ourselves and live up life in the Olam HaZeh, in the here and now. This started the Sadducees, who were a new sect of Jewish people, with the premise being that we don't really believe in Mashiach, the Messiah, is going to bring people back. We don't believe in that the next world is going to be punishment or any reward. We have to live in the here and now. They also clung to the literal meanings of the Torah. They went against the oral Torah, traditions of the Tanaim, against traditions of their leaders. And they also were against, the fact that we believe, as Jewish people, that we're going to be resurrected, Tchiyat HaMesim, we're going to come back, and the Mashiach. And they did not believe in this. They were against this 100%. Now, at the present time, Antigonus and the Jewish people lived in a very difficult time. There was huge or constant battles between Egypt and Syria. And in the middle, obviously, was Eretz Yisrael. This led to robbery. Bandits were current. Also, interesting to note that learning of Torah was also on the decline. And for about 100 years, people literally had no interest or no knowledge of Torah. Now, what changed was actually interesting to note. It happens here. It happens, I guess, throughout the Jewish history, is that when other nations are tolerant to us, we get more lax. Other nations are strict with us, being that we're a stubborn people, it helps us cling stronger to our faith. Now, Alexander the Great, one of his principles was anytime he would take over a new country, new people, he was tolerant towards the other nations. And so we see that the leader, Alexander, was tolerant, Greek culture, so people were very lax in their own Torah adherence. This was fine. Well, this wasn't fine, but this happened until Antiochus of Syria. And what he did, actually we all know the Hanukkah story, was he tried to cut out a lot of the customs and Torah study and the mitzvot, and this led to the Hashmonaim. So we see that when there is a push towards the eradication of Torah, we see a backlash that leads to furthering of Torah. We also see that what the Hashmonaim did was try to return, besides people to learning Torah, but try to return the people to Lashon Kodesh, speaking Hebrew. After the Jewish people, after the people came back from Babel, they started speaking different languages as well as Hebrew. We'll see that the Syrian Greek language was prevalent. The Hashmonaim, the court of the Hashmonaim, decided or commanded that the Hebrew language should be the spoken language in this world. Well, that concludes this week's podcast. If you have any comments, you want a shout-out, perhaps, feel free. jayaxe2@yahoo.com. jayaxe2.com. This has been Jay Axelrod Productions? I don't know about that. Well, Jay Axelrod, UD Axelrod, I appreciate your comments, questions, like I mentioned, jayaxe2@yahoo.com, jayaxe2@yahoo.com. Next week, hopefully we'll get in the podcast right before the weekend. Next week, Shabbat, Rosh Hashanah, and I'll be on my way back to the Holy Land, and we'll speak to you then. Have a good evening, and Shabbat Shalom.